Glory. I felt a shot of penicillin in the spirit there. I was feeling great. I'm feeling great. Hallelujah. I can't really apologize, and I won't. You see, the Lord years ago had me, the first three chapters of Galatians and the first three chapters of Ephesians and then Romans 3, talked about grace a lot. And I would just go over those scriptures over and over again. There's something about that word grace. It's just I'm infatuated with it. In the Greek, it's the Greek word charis. So we get the word charismatic. There's something about that word that I'm drawn to. It brings me to tears. But grace has been so slaughtered in the church. And so misspoken, taken out of context. And I do not, and please understand this. I do not apologize for saying that I don't have to create words in my mind. Because I've studied grace enough, hours and hours of going through grace, the first three chapters of Ephesians and Galatians, and there's an image inside of me of what this man did for me. There's something inside of me. I can open up my mouth and say, I love you, Jesus, and I begin to cry and to think of what he did for me. I was in a lost state when he did what he did for me. I was by nature a son of wrath, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And he found me in that dead, ugly, perverted state. So to offer up words out of my spirit to him is really an easy thing for me. So I've studied grace. I've spent hours in the gospel just studying grace. And I'm still learning about grace. And I'm yet to be, quote unquote, the ultimate worshiper. But I know how to give him praise out of my heart. My preference, I'm not saying I'm right, is to sit quietly and worship him. So we'd like to worship God louder. There's no right or wrong way. Just to give him praise from our hearts and words of adoration is what he wants. Me, I could be without music completely to worship God. To me, music is a distraction to worship God. To me, but I'm not right or wrong. That's just my preference. I can come together in the church and worship God with you with music. But my preference is at home by myself with no music at all. Just him, my heart, my mouth giving him praise. I can't apologize for that, nor should I, right? Hallelujah. I see the way things are nowadays. The body of Christ better toughen up in general. I'm talking to myself too. Because I was in here Sunday, and I'll tell you this. The Lord really shook me up. I had tremendous high blood pressure Sunday morning. I've been foolish, and I ate 11 o'clock at night. I ate a chicken sandwich from Wendy's. And then I ate a sausage sandwich Sunday morning, and my blood pressure was high. Let me tell you something right now. You can confess the word of God over your body all you want. If you don't eat healthy, your confession is absolute positive vanity. It is vanity. So Sunday, and I was shooting a lot of insulin up, but I made up my mind. I told my wife, that's it, man. I'm not going to be sick like that anymore. So I made a commitment to myself. I'm going to get off insulin. And I've took very minimal units of insulin the last 3 days, and I feel great. You can confess the word of God till you're blue in the face. If you do not take care of your body and exercise somewhat and eat proper, you're wasting your breath. We need to take care of our bodies, man. We need to take care of our bodies. I'm only 54 years old. I need not be sick. And I need not be on medication. And I'm going to plow, and I'm going to get off of it. I want to be around to see God move in this world. I want to be around to see God move. And I pray to God that people in this church, I'm not one that believes once saved, always saved. I think that's heresy, complete heresy. Because Matthew 24, Jesus told the disciples, he told the 11, the 12, he said, if you endure till the end, you shall be saved. The word saved is a Greek word, sozo. If you endure till the end, boys, you shall be saved. So that lets me know if I don't endure till the end, I won't be saved. This has to be central in our life. I have never heard so many Christians in my life say that they don't read the Bible. Or I can't read the Bible. Yes, you can. If you can watch your favorite TV show, if you can watch a football game, well, I can't do this. Yes, you can. You can sit there and watch your favorite team for 3 hours. If I watch your favorite football team on Saturday for 3 hours, you can do what you want on the side, but you can't pray. You can't read your word. And I had something totally different to say. Let me tell you something. When I was in the world, addicted to pornography, you know how I know I was addicted to pornography? Somebody help me out. Because I looked at pornography. Don't worry, you're not going to embarrass yourself. They go, well, I'm embarrassed to answer that. No. You know what validated that I was addicted to pornography? I watched pornography all the time. Before I got saved, I had tapes of pornography in my house. The moment that I got saved, I knew what to do with that pornography. No teacher, no Bible, just Christ in me. That pornography went into the garbage 25 years ago. So what validated that I liked pornography was that I liked watching pornography. What validates a person that's a glutton? What validates that? He likes to eat papa. Okay. This is where I'm going to get trouble with some people. Well, you know what? The days are limited, man. We better turn it up. What validates that I am a Christian in love with Jesus? Righteousness? But there is not such a thing of a person that's born again that does not read their Bible and does not pray. I hear spouses say, well, my husband doesn't pray, my wife doesn't pray, they don't read their Bible, and they're doing good. You, my friends, are a liar. I tell my kids all the time, listen, man, if I die tomorrow, you won't have your dad texting you anymore to read your Bible. Or if you die, son, I can't be around asking you to read your Bible. Do it now. There is no such thing as a Christian that does not love to pray and read their Bible. There's no such thing. What validated that I was addicted to pornography was that I love pornography. what validated that I love, that I was a glutton, is I loved food. What validates my love for Christ is I can't wait to put this word in me every day, man. Well, my brother, he's a solid Christian. He doesn't pray, read his Bible. No, your brother is a liar. Well, my kids, they love the Lord, but they just don't find time to pray or to read their Bible. Well, your brother is a liar. Your kids are a liar. They're lying to you. And you're deceived if you believe them. We better tighten up, man. We better tighten up. Every channel you look through. I'm not a conservative. I don't get into politics. I'm a born again, Holy Ghost filled believer is what I am. This is my policy. This is my politics right here. This is my politics. You can be a conservative, a Democrat, Republican, all you want. This is my political statement right here. This is my political statement. It's time we begin to hate evil like never before. No one ever hated evil like Jesus Christ. You know you hate evil when there's a response around people wherever you go. Jesus, wherever he went, people were drawn to him, and he hated evil more than anybody that I know. The church has to hate evil. Even hate evil when we like people. See, when we like people, their evil doesn't bother us. When our kids do evil, their evil doesn't bother us. In fact, we will take up for our children. Okay, I will. Mr. Trump, we have given him a free pass for years. We have given him a pass. While he has spewed out hateful rhetoric against every single race alive, we've given him a pass in the church. Now, I support his platform. And so, well, I can't tell you which way to what support. I know I support his platform because I love little babies. The church has given this man a free pass. He has called illegals, Mexicans, rapists, etc., etc. He walked that back after he was faced with much pressure. When Puerto Rico went through a nasty hurricane, he was throwing toilet paper at them. He called black NFL players SOBs. But the church gave him a pass. On national TV, he was asked to denounce white supremacy. He did. He said, Donald Trump, will you renounce the Proud Boys? He said, yes, I will, but stand by. We gave this man a free pass. We are to hate evil no matter who's doing it. Me personally, I wouldn't even go to a Trump rally. I wouldn't even go. Not validating the way he is with people. I will support his platform out loud on social media. I will support his platform. But to support him as a person, I cannot and I will not. Will you vote for him? Yes. Because I'm supporting his platform. That's not a sentiment to me that can be backed up biblically. I'm so glad Pastor said what he said last week. That we need to pray that this man get born again. I'm so glad he said that. Glad he said that. We hate evil when it's on the other side, but when somebody we like does evil, it's not that bad. They're Christian. Well, if that's the case, then we're all Christians. No. True Christians depart from iniquity because we're born of a spiritual DNA. We are the light of the world. We are a city that is set on a hill. Our candle is lit and people know who we are by the fruit that we walk in. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We hate evil. Not people, we hate evil. And there is plenty of evil in the world. Unlimited. I got to be careful how I say this. People want abortion, unlimited abortion. And the church supports that? An exaltation of LGBTQ, FYR, XWP, whatever. The church supports that platform? The destruction of the nuclear family, and the church supports that platform? Listen, man, it's going to be a sin before long to say that marriage between a woman and a man. It will be a sin before long to love this country. There'll be division in this country because we want to put our hand over our heart and pledge allegiance to the flag, which I love to do. We better be real strong spiritually, man. Strengthened by this dunamis power, we're going to need it in the days to come, man. We are going to need it. What's coming through our border right now? Yes, there's hard working people. There, guys, there's people from 150 different countries coming in this border. Fentanyl, drugs. The cartels are making billions of dollars every day with child trafficking. Everybody and their mother is coming into this country. If you think they're all good people, you're deceived. A lot of gangbangers, MS-13, coming to our country, man. We better get real strong, man. We better not be void of understanding. This better be what's in our heart. It better enlarge our heart, enlarge our thinking. I'm telling you, we better toughen up like never, ever before. I'm going to eat better. I'm going to do a lot better because I want to be around to see this community saved and born again. I want to hate evil like Jesus did. To hate it, regardless of who does it. I want to hate evil. And you won't hate evil till you love righteousness. If you don't love righteousness, you won't hate evil. We better get real tough, man. Now they want to teach our children about gender equality. They want to teach our children sexual orientation. Let's get tough, man. Let's stand up. Let's get tough. Let's get real tough. Let's delight ourselves in his word. Delight ourselves in his word. You can do it. It's just a matter of hunger. When I get in God's word, sometimes I can just feel it washing over me. When I read it, Miss Gay, I can just feel it cleansing me. I can literally feel it, Harry. I'm sitting there hearing the word of God. I can just feel it washing over me. You can just feel that's the effect it'll have on us. I don't know where you're at as a servant of God. I don't know where you're at as a doulos. I don't know. And it's your business. The amens in church sound real good, but it's what you do after the amen at home that validates your walk in God. That validates your walk in God. Amen. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In other words, I know where I'm at and I know where I'm going. When this word is enlarged in my heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you still love me? Disclaimer, don't let me deceive anyone. disclaimer, I support this current platform. I said that wrong. I support the old platform 110%. I don't support the current platform. But we have to stand up, let the world know we support platforms, not individuals. At least that's my conviction, man. That's my conviction. Amen. Some don't agree with me on that. I don't care. Talk to your God about it. I'm sure he'll relate to you the same exact thing. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't that sound good? John 1. You don't have to turn there. What came through Moses? You could just, we can intermingle for a little bit. What came through Moses, John chapter 1, the what? The law and the what? The law and the prophets. I guess you guys don't have John 1 in your Bible. Through Moses was brought to us the law and the prophets. So if I want to study the law and the prophets, what do I do? Go to the what? Old Testament, okay. The law and the prophets came through Moses, but grace and truth came by who? Jesus Christ. Okay, so if I want to find out what grace, if the law and the prophets came through Moses, I have to revert back in the Bible a few pages and start reading the Old Testament, right? Simplicity, simple. If I want to know about the grace and truth that came by Jesus, what do I do? Read the New Testament. Right? The New Testament and the epistles are the grace of God in black and white. Are you with me? It is the grace of God and the truth of God in black and white. It's there. So if you want to increase in grace, what are you going to read and what are you going to keep? And you'll increase in what? You'll hear the word, you'll keep the word, and more grace will be added to you, because grace and truth came by one Jesus Christ, and we've received grace for grace. Are you with me? So I began to study grace like never before. And by the way, if anybody tried to get a hold of me, I haven't had a phone, it's been messed up, but I got a brand new one that I'm going to activate after church. So if you try to get a hold of me and left me voicemails or whatever, I haven't responded. I have not had a phone, but I will tonight anyway. So I began to study grace, and I heard Pastor Bronk say a while back that grace has a couple of different definitions, and it does. You got to keep it in context. And I found this out about grace. You can be turning to the book of 1 Peter. Probably won't be long tonight. I don't care what Corey says. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 12. Remember now, we're looking at grace. Starters, grace is not what many of the popular teachers preach. Grace does not abound in sin, but grace abounded abundantly to fill you with who God is, to keep you from sinning. Grace does not abound in sin. Grace abounded abundantly for Christ to dwell in you, to keep you from sinning. It's not what many people teach. So Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 12, he says, by Silvanus, a faithful brother, as I suppose, I've written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which ye stand. By Silvanus, a faithful brother, as opposed to you, I written briefly testifying and writing that this is the true grace of God in which ye stand. Paul is saying, now Peter's writing here, this is the true grace of God. Therein is the grace of God in which ye stand. When he said, therein is the grace of God in which ye stand, what were you making reference to when he said the word, therein is the grace of God? Chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, and chapter? Therein is the grace of God in which we stand. The Greek says, therein is the grace of God wherein we abide. The grace of God is there in black and white. People that have received the grace of life walk according to 1 Peter. If you are born of God, 1 Peter identifies with you. Because you're born of grace, his spirit lives in you, and 1 Peter, those five books are the grace. In other words, if you're born again, you should fulfill the book of 1 Peter. Because you're born of grace, the spirit of grace is in you, and 1 Peter chapter 1 through 5 is the grace of God. So shouldn't those that are born of grace and under grace fulfill 1 Peter? Because therein is the grace of God. If you don't walk according to the epistles, if you don't walk according to the gospel, you're not walking in grace. And nowhere in 1 Peter does it ever say that grace covers a lifestyle of sin. On the contrary, on the complete contrary, therein is the grace of God that we stand by. We're at 1 Peter chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Therein is the grace of God. You with me? Is that pretty simple? Okay. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 through 9. We're going to talk about humbling ourselves. I've heard many messages on humbling, but we seem to stop at a certain place. Well, first, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 and 22. We're going to develop or understand through the word of God what the faith means. Can somebody wants to share with me what the words the faith mean? Anybody want to give it a shot? Anybody? Somebody? Okay. No takers. So what we're after is, what do the words the faith mean? Well, Paul addresses it, and so does Peter. He said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 through 22, I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I live in the flesh, I live by what? I live what? Say it, don't be scared. I live by what? The faith of the Son of God that what? Somebody read it. Don't be scared. You're not in trouble. You're not getting a grade on this. The life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God that loved me and what? Gave himself for me. I live by the faith of the Son of God that loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come through the law, then Christ is died in vain. Are you with me? I'm justified through faith because by grace I'm saved. The grace that saved me was that Jesus loved me and gave himself for me. And by what he did, by his scourging, by the cross, by the resurrection from Sheol, Acts chapter 2, I'm justified through what he did. See, he really, really died. I just died. You with me? He really, really, really died. I just died to sin because he really, really, really died. Are you with me? I the recipient of grace, and he did all the work. When he died, he loved me and gave himself for me. I live by the faith of, not in, of the Son of God that loved me and gave himself for me. One more time. The life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of, not in, of the Son of God that loved me and gave himself for me. So Christ loved us. No strings attached, man. No strings attached. He just did it because he was in communion with his Father. What we're after is, what is the faith? And you'll know why I am asking that question. I live by the faith of the Son of God that loved me and gave himself for me. Okay, keep that thought in back of your mind. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 through 9. Are you there? Okay. Likewise, this is Peter. We can call at the beginning of chapter 5, he says, I'm a witness of the sufferings of Christ. A little background on the book of 1 Peter. Christians were going through it, man. Like, we're going to go through it. Christians were going through it. They were going through the mill. They were being persecuted for their faith in Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. We are going to be persecuted. We are going to be severely persecuted. I can just see it setting up now. Hatred towards people that love Jesus. A hatred, an abundant hatred. Peter says this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 through 9. He said, likewise, according to what I wrote in the first four verses, likewise, younger, submit unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with what? Humility. For God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care on him, for he careth for you. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walketh around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. Stop. We've heard teachings about that. We've always stopped there. But it's vital that you continue. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about who he may devour. So if I'm not sober and I'm not vigilant, will I be devoured? Absolutely. Then I have to be sober and vigilant to obey something. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's what we've always stopped there. So I said, Lord, well, how do I humble myself before you, Lord? How do I submit to Miss Gay? How do I submit to Miss Barbara? How do I submit to Marty? How do I submit to Harry, to Robert, to Carl? How do I submit to them, Lord? How do I cast all my care upon you because you care for me? How do I do it? How do I clothe myself with humility? How do I do it, Lord? There's got to be something that I do purposely to keep Satan from devouring me. Take it from the top one more time. Likewise, younger, submit unto the elders. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. For me to be subject unto Miss Gay, unto Ralph, unto Marty, unto Abby, unto Renee, there's something I must do. For me to submit to them as an elder of the church, there's something I must do. First, I must humble myself, according to the next portion of that passage, right? I gotta humble myself, and if I humble myself, then I'm in submission to all of you. You see, if you're my problem, I'm gonna pick on Miss Gay. If Miss Gay is my problem, if she irks me, really and truly, Miss Gay's not my problem. It's my horizontal relationship with God the Father that's the problem. Because in God, nobody should irk you. That's why it says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. You won't love your neighbor as yourself if you don't love God with all your heart. He is a remedy for every single thing in this world. I can't try to fix Miss Gay. All I do is go into my closet and fix my relationship with Jesus. That's how it's fixed. I don't have to mortify my dislike for Miss Gay. No, I just got to love her because I'm born again and dead unto sin. I hear that way too much. Yes, I believe in mortification. Yes, I believe in dying. Yes, I do. But I also believe in the word stop. I've been little rabbit trail. I've been going into the scriptures about drinking. I know the scriptures pretty well. I always thought, and I don't drink, I always thought, and I still believe one beer is not going to send you to hell. I do believe that with all my heart. Caveat. But, and you can argue with me all you want. You're overriding your conscience somewhere. Because the Bible says, it doesn't say abstain from evil, Miss Gay. It says abstain from all appearances of evil. So I go into Winn-Dixie, I go into Handy, and I buy a six pack. But I'm only going to drink one. It's going to last me 3 weeks in the refrigerator. But they see me with a six pack. Abstain from all appearances of evil. All appearances. You've ruined your testimony over a six pack of beer or a 40. And I used to love 40s in my days. You've sold out your testimony for a little. Let me tell you one thing right now. And I've called my elders getting their input on this. If you drink and you get a little tipsy, that's too much. If it changes your senses, you are a drunkard. If it affects the way you act and think, you've violated your conscience. Well, I just drink one in my house. That's fine. I'll just drink one at a party. That's fine. But you've ruined your testimony. You've ruined it. Now, two of my kids, they take sips on occasion. If they were here, I'd tell them the same exact thing. I'm not a coward. Because my kids do it doesn't mean I'm not going to preach it. I'm going to preach it even more if they do it. I'm not going to back down. I'm not a coward. If my kids are fornicating, I will preach from the pulpit that you can't fornicate. If you do, you're going to end up in hell. I am not a coward. Abstain. I used to say, well, I said, the light bulb just turned on, Miss Kay. Abstain from all evil. Not what it says, Homer. Abstain from all appearances of evil. Appearances of evil. Got a case of, I'll just say Miller Lite. That's what I used to drink. Case of Miller Lite in my hand going down when they seem thinking good, 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 good. What's up, brother? Let me tell you about Jesus. No. You've lost all credibility, man. You've lost all credibility. I'm going to smoke a little bit of reefer, just a little bit. Just a little bit. If it affects your, well, no, even if you smoke it, it's wrong. I know about a beer affecting your, making you a little tipsy. The first one was delicious. Whew, my gosh. So I don't even drink, period. And I made a mistake a while back and went to a restaurant I should not have gone to. I'll never go back again. I said, since I can't see, I'm going to go. It won't bother me. No. I made a mistake. I made a mistake. Chicken wings were good, but I made a mistake. Are you with me? The road is getting narrower and narrower, Miss Gate. Narrower and narrower. How do you say it? It's getting smaller, man. Like my height. I used to be 5'8 and a quarter. Now, never mind. But shouldn't things be, shouldn't our conscience be getting so sensitive? Every day that I get in that closet and read my Bible, shouldn't I grow closer and closer to the Lamb of God? See, Christianity, I want to go back to the lesson. See, when we give our life to Jesus, Miss Gay, we don't change our own mind. You with me on that? So I gave my life to Jesus. I didn't change my mind about things. I didn't decide within myself that fornication was wrong. I didn't decide myself that adultery was wrong. I didn't decide in myself that stealing was wrong, that pornography was wrong. I didn't decide in myself, though I've never been with another woman sexually as I've been married, but I've cheated in my heart. It's the same exact thing. You commit adultery in your heart with a woman, you're committing adultery and you're headed to hell if you don't stop. Amen? Say amen with me. Don't be scared. Say amen. All right. See, we don't change our mind. Our conscience is changed by him. So the world hates us. They think we're bullies. It's not us that they hate. We didn't change our own conscience. He changed our conscience. So if they hate us and our conscience was changed by him, then who do they really hate? Him. We've got, that has to be the sword that we fall on, man. This book has to be the sword that we fall on. The mountain that we live on has to be the mountain that we'll die on. Sooner or later, this has to be the world to us, man. The complete world. The sword that we fall on in these last days. The Bible, the world doesn't need mediocre Christians. It needs those that are sold out to the gospel of Jesus Christ. This has to be the sword, Miss Gay, that we die on, that we fall on. This is what we live by. And we make mistakes along the way. We ask God for forgiveness. But I can tell you this, every day my conscience is getting, what word am I looking for? I need somebody help me with a word. More crisp, can I say? I think I'm thinking about fried chicken now. My conscience is getting more sensitive. Were things that didn't bother me a month ago. It bothered me now. What we're after. 1 Peter chapter 5. He says, this is a true grace of God in which we stand. Therein is the grace of God. Wherein? Therein. Wherein is therein? The book of 1 Peter, that's the grace of God. The people that receive the grace of life, 1 Peter chapter 3, we walk in God's grace. We're born again. 1 Peter identifies with our lifestyle. So Peter said this, said, likewise, according to verse 1 through 5, I'm a witness of the sufferings of Christ. And he writes, likewise, as examples to the flock, he said, likewise, younger submit unto the elder. Yea, all of you be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the what? Proud. But gives what? Grace to the humble. So he gives grace to the humble. And if I am humble, then I'm servant to who? To you. To every, you can't be humble before God and not be subservient to people. If you're humble before the eyes of God, you're subservient to everyone. You with me? Be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. What's the next part of that verse, Ms. Kay? Or somebody with their Bible open? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Okay, how do I humble myself under the mighty hand of God? I would ask that question over and over again. Okay, humble myself. And if I humble myself, then I'm servant to all. Amen. Do you see that? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And what? And what? He will exalt you. Yes, I'm just trying to see if you're with me. He will exalt you. You're with me. I hear Allison's with me. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you. Casting all your care upon him. How do I cast my care upon him? Casting all your care upon him. We know that casting my care upon him has something to do with being humble. Now, I know if I find out how to be humble, I know that I'll be subservient to everyone and treat everybody the same and not in a partial manner. I'll hate evil everywhere because I'm humbling myself. So, I hate being blind. You got to remember everything that you teach. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him. Because what? He careth for you. Because your adversary, the devil, walketh around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Be sober, be vigilant. No, I said it backwards. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walketh around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. So Satan wants to devour me. But if I'm sober and vigilant, that means I'm casting all my care upon him. If I'm casting all my care upon him, then I'm humbling myself. And I'm humbling myself, I'm being servant to you. But what is it that I have to do to receive this? What is it that I have to do to be servant to you? What is it that I have to do to humble myself? What is it that I have to do to cast all my care upon him? What is it that I have to do to sober myself and be vigilant for what? For what? There's got to be something that I do purposely to be servant of all and to be clothed with humility. There's something I have to do. But we've stopped. We've stopped. We haven't gone on further in that passage. It's vital. It's vital. It's biblical. It is the grace of God. Because faith comes by what? And also, faith worketh by what? Love. Faith worketh by love. Remember that. Take it from the top one more time. Peter said, I'm writing to you as a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Peter saw the lifestyle of Jesus Christ. He saw how he reacted. He saw him on the scourging post. He saw him on the cross. Peter knew that he resurrected from Sheol, from hell. He knew that. He saw what Christ said and what Christ didn't say. He saw Christ raise the dead. He saw Christ have compassion on adulterers, on fornicators. He saw Christ heal the sick. And more than anything, he saw Christ in his sufferings. Now, I'm almost done, believe it or not. We'll take it from the top with one entire thought, and they get to the main thrust of this. Likewise, younger submit unto the elders. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud gives grace unto the humble. I want grace, Ms. Gay. I want grace to continue. It gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him. How and why? Casting all your care upon him because he careth for you. Be sober. Be vigilant. For what reason? Why do you want me to be sober? Why do you want me to be vigilant? Because if you're not, you're going to be devoured by Satan. So if I am sober and I am vigilant, why am I being sober? Why am I being vigilant? Because your adversary, the devil, walketh around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. Whom? Resist him in the what? In the faith. Resist him, therefore, in the faith. Galatians chapter 2, verse 22. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God that loved me and gave himself for me. Now the context of 1 Peter was the Christians were being called evildoers for being believers in Christ. I want you to resist their rhetoric. I want you to resist their hatred. I want you to resist Satan and what you're going through by the faith. What faith? The faith that Jesus loved you with is the same faith that you love them with. The faith of the Son of God. Stand faith. Stand strong. Stand stationary. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Stand stationary in the gospel. Resist him. What you're going to resist this in the faith. What is resisted in the faith? You love. And you give yourself for your neighbor. You don't deviate. You love and you give yourself for your neighbor, which equals being humble. If I continue to love, to give myself for my neighbor, I humble myself. I'm clothed with humility. All those around me, I'm subject unto you, because no matter what I went through, no matter what the accusations were, no matter how much hatred I was experienced, resist this, resist Satan in the faith. In what faith? The faith that Jesus walked in. Jesus loved and he gave himself for me. The ones that hate us, the ones that are going to persecute us, weren't we them years ago? But God had mercy on us. Jesus had mercy on us and walked in the grace of God. So that he showed mercy on me, walking in the grace of God by loving me and giving himself for me. Now that I'm a member of the beloved, how he walked, how his faith was, that's the same exact faith that I walk in. There can be no questions asked. Our mind has to be armed. 1 Peter chapter 3, armed. 1 Peter chapter 4, armed. To this extent, the life I live in the flesh, I'll live by the faith in the Son of God that loved me and gave himself for me. But also, 1 Peter chapter 4, he said, arm yourself with this mind. What mind? That though I live in the flesh, I will not live my life in the flesh to the will of man. But I'll live my life in the flesh to the will of God. If I'm going to be in trouble in these days to come, I'll be in trouble for doing good and not doing evil. We're going to be hated. We must resist Satan and those afflictions in the faith. What is resisting it in the faith? We love and we give ourselves for our neighbor. If we act towards them the way they act towards us, when are they ever going to know the Savior? It's called the just for the unjust, that we might bring them to God. If you resist Satan in the faith, What does that mean? Well, we love, give ourselves for our neighbor. Then we're subservient to this. A complete surrender. When we love and we give ourselves for our neighbor, it's complete submission to this. Philippians chapter 2, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. There is no humbling. There is no being clothed with humility. There is no being servant of all, lest we walk in the faith of Christ. What is walking in the faith of Christ? He loved us and gave himself for us. That's the faith that we walk in. That's how we cast all our care upon him. When we resist in the faith, we resist in the faith when we love and give ourselves for our neighbor, the just for the unjust. There is no other way. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, you don't have to turn there. Paul writes, we live to manifest the truth. That's why we live. We live to manifest the truth. No matter what we face, death, whatever it is, we have an image that we live to manifest the truth. If someone is not going to receive Jesus, see, it's not that we don't have enough people telling people about Jesus. We don't have people telling Jesus about Jesus that are servants to Jesus. We preach Jesus out of memory. We preach Jesus out of remembrance, but we don't preach Jesus as servants of Jesus. That's what he needs. When you minister Jesus as a servant of Jesus, one thing that you want, that's to manifest truth. If you're going to give your life to Jesus, don't let it be because I was partial and hypocritical and remembered a few words from the Bible. If you don't give your life to Jesus, let it be because you didn't want to give your life to Jesus. Don't let me be the reason you didn't give your life to Jesus. God forbid, man. I want you to see Jesus in me. In me. That is the greatest evangelism we could ever have, is when we preach Jesus as servants of Jesus, manifesting forth his truth no matter what we face, man. And we are taught so well in this church. We resist Satan in the faith. And if we resist Satan in the faith, he can't touch us. Because I'm being clothed with humility. And the proud person is one that reads 1 Peter and doesn't do 1 Peter. But the humble is one that reads 1 Peter and does 1 Peter. And the grace of God is multiplied in his life. 1 Peter chapter 1. He said, grace and mercy be multiplied. How is it multiplied? When you read 1 Peter and you do 1 Peter. That's how grace is multiplied. There will be grace given to us for manifestation of his glory. So we're seeking him with all our hearts, or we're striving to with all our hearts. And grace will be given. Are we there yet? We still got a ways to go. But we're plowing. We're dying to self. And please don't use that as an excuse. Please don't use that, but I'm dying. You're going to die saying I'm dying. He said, abstain. 1 Peter chapter 2. Abstain. Abstain from fleshly lust. Abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Have your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as an evildoer, they will by your good works glorify God in the day of visitation. Oops, unworldly person. I didn't mean to say it. I didn't mean to cheat on my wife. I didn't mean to get drunk. Oops, I haven't mortified yet. No, man, you dummy. Abstain. Abstain from fleshly lusts that war against the soul. Fleshly lusts are strong, or else they wouldn't be called lusts. He said, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. That's the only way the world is going to see him in us. Quit copping out where I got to mortify. No, you got to stop. I believe in transformation. Absolutely. But stop, man. Quit being a coward using that cop out. I got to mortify. I hear it a lot. It makes me sick to my stomach. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are past. Behold, all things have become new. He made you righteous by grace. Yes, we got to die internally, but externally, we can't let stuff manifest. Just stop it. I didn't mean to cheat on my wife. I got to mortify. No, you don't. You got to start deceiving your own heart. I got to stop drinking. I got to mortify. No, you don't. Just stop. I got to quit going to the club as a Christian. I got to mortify. No, just stop. I got to be a better husband. Yes, you do. Just do it. I got to stop lying. How are you going to stop lying? By telling the truth. You didn't have to lie. I got to mortify. I got to mortify. And don't take this the wrong way. There's just so much stuff that we think we got to mortify when all we got to do is just stop it, man. We just got to stop. Now we know, in closing, we know that what God wants from us, we got to be dead people. We know that. I know that. You know that. But I think you know what I mean by just stop it. I think you know what I mean by that. If you don't, then mortify your ignorance. Smoke a little reefer. I just got to mortify it. No, you don't, man. Just stop. Paul said, this is the true grace of God. Therein is the true grace of God. Wherein we stand. What is the grace of God? Every single thing that I just shared with you is the grace of God. That's how people that receive the grace of life, a new nature, that's how we live. Amen. We just got to stop. This is the true grace of God. That we live a holy life because he is holy. He is holy, and he's in us. Like Pastor Bronx says, we live out of his authority. Walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You can't obey the new nature and walk in the flesh. You obey the new nature, you're not walking in the flesh. You with me? I can just hear some of you now whispering on the way home, he's real hard on that mortification message. No, I'm being biblical. 110% biblical. There's so much that we can just stop by the power of Christ in us and through the scripture saturation our emotions, and by praying in the Holy Ghost we can just delight ourselves in God's word and change internally. But we don't have to sin externally. There's some things that have to change internally. I understand that. There's so many things that the body of Christ does because they blame mortification. I haven't mortified enough. But what I share with you tonight is the true grace of God. Book of 1 Peter is the true grace of God. Titus chapter 2 is the true grace of God. Titus chapter 2 will make a lot of women mad. Women, be chaste. Be keepers at home. Love your husband. Love your children. If you break that down in the Greek, it's saying keep a good home. And if by chance he's hungry, cook for him. Hold on, man. Don't say amen yet. That's the true grace of God. Elder women, teach the younger women how to be chaste, to love their children, to love their husbands, to be discreet. Also, the grace of God is this, that a man will lay down his life for his wife. That is the grace of God. Are you with me? That is the grace of God. So if a woman does not submit to her husband, the husband's not the problem. Her trusting in God is the problem. If it's a fight with your wife to get her to cook all the time, you're not her problem. The grace of God, God is her problem. If I can't love my wife like Christ loved the church, she's not my problem. My relationship with Christ is the problem. That, my friends, is the true grace of God. That is what we live by. Amen. Stand with me, please. Hallelujah.